Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand. Praise the Lord. And let's have a moment of prayer. Brother Tom, if you would come out and lead us in prayer, please.
Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. In Jesus' name,
yes.
Lord. May our hearts and minds, Lord, be directed towards you in Jesus' name, Lord. May there be a spirit of unity in this place, Lord. May your love be felt and be made manifest in this place in Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your presence,
Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for your sweet gift of your Holy Spirit that you poured out upon us, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. May we respond and show our love back to you, Lord, because you love us so much, Lord. May you gave yourself to us, Lord, in Jesus' name.
You are home.
Hallelujah. It is so good to be in his house. You ever get caught up with what goes on throughout the week in your life? And you're like, I'm so looking forward to Sunday morning.
Yes.
I need a mind transformation. I need a heart transformation. I need to get recalibrated. What better place to do that than right here? Things seem to be kind of off skew. You look out straight ahead and you're like, it does not look level. Something's off. But man, you get in the house of God, in the presence of God, you get right back on the right path.
Yeah.
Right back with the right perspective. Hallelujah. We're going to talk this morning about God's pure love. Last time I spoke, I had a rather long text. This one's kind of long. If you feel comfortable standing, that's fine. I'll try to read as quickly as possible, and then I'll have you be seated. It's in 1 John 4, 7-21. It says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he hath loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. I'm going to let you be seated at this time, but there's like this grafting, infusing, that God becomes a part of our life, and we become a part of his, and it's just like this oneness there. And when that happens, it's just a matter of time before others begin to see a difference in you, because you are not your own. You are a part of something bigger than anything this world has to offer and anything this world can imagine. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he that loveth God loveth also his brother. Pure love allows us to walk in a path of righteousness without fear. We become a reflection of him. It requires faith. It produces boldness. And love is also fear repellent. The scripture is clear in its declaration that God is love. In the purest form, it's untainted, free from weakness or pollutants, free from moral thought or guilt. It's clean. He is the definition of love, pure love. At times, we tend to evaluate love on the basis of what another one does for us rather than on the knowledge alone of that love. In other words, we tend to view through a very self-centered lens of interpretation. The love of God is not measured by what we perceive him to allow to occur in our lives. Rather, God's love is a matter of unchanging fact. He is love. Pastor Everett Hennis wrote about the dangerous evaluation of God's love in this article entitled, Doubting God's Love Comes Easy. Hennis wrote, Sometimes it's easy to doubt God's love for us. We equate good things happening to our lives with God's blessing and bad things happening with God's displeasure. This is a dangerous approach in our walk with God. And I got thinking about this. Brother Kellen's going in for surgery tomorrow. Unfortunate things happen, and we have to endure some things. And I got thinking about this also because everybody knows me. I've had to be a single parent for the last year and a half. But that doesn't mean that God loves me any less. That doesn't mean that God loves Brother Kellum any less because he has to go in for surgery. That he had to endure some things. We have to endure some things in this life, but it does not change God's eternal, pure love for us. That is unchanging. It doesn't matter the good things that happen in my life. It doesn't matter the bad things that happen in my life. His love never changes, and it is consistent. And I'm so thankful for his love. He loves you when you're going to go in the operating room tomorrow. He loved you before you were going to go in the operating room. He's going to love you after you go in the operating room. He's going to love you in the healing process. He loves us every day that we wake up. He looks over us. He sings over us. He protects us. He provides for us. He gives us strength when our strength is gone. He renews us. He gives us hope when it seems like there's no hope in this world. Being equipped with the knowing that God is love and his love is pure, we have a huge responsibility to make an effort to spread the knowledge of God wherever we can throughout this world, through foreign missions and throughout our personal world as we go throughout our day-to-day lives. It's a matter of carrying out the true message of pure love to everyone. Through Scripture, we can discover many qualities or attributes of God. The Bible reveals God is light and that God is holy. But none of the attributes of God are more powerful than the power of God's love being manifested in this world, being manifested in us and through us. It's rare that a person would willingly or sacrificially lose his or her life in the act of protecting or rescuing another person. We view that person as a hero in this world in their efforts to save or rescue someone else. But in the case of Christ, he died for us when we had nothing to offer him and certainly did not deserve that intervention in our lives. In Romans 5, 7 through 8 says, "Now most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." We didn't have nothing to offer him. We didn't have nothing good to offer him, good or bad to offer him at all. But he died for us anyways. John 15, 13 says, "Greater love hath no man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends." 1 John 3:16 also says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brother." It's part of us dying daily and paying it forward. I believe that living a selfless life is living a very fulfilling life. When I don't live for myself, when I live to please God and to impact other people's lives by letting God manifest himself in me, that is very fulfilling. Not looking about what I can get for me in this world in this moment, not looking for any accolades, not looking for degrees that I could acquire or any recognition that I could get on my own. But Lord, let your selfless life be a reflection in me. Let others know you because they see you in me, in Jesus' name. But that may take purging. That may take examination and self-examination. We're going to cover that at the end of this lesson. That we need to open ourselves to God and say, "God, what can I do to let your pure love manifest itself in and through me, in Jesus' name?" You know what happens over time? What happens when we deal with day-to-day things? When life pours itself out upon us, we could get calloused. We could get kind of skinned over. And when the law, the word of God was hidden and it was revealed again over time, they went in the temple and found it. They found the scrolls and they began to read the scrolls again. And the king at the time or the priest would rent their clothes. But God is saying, "You know what? I want you to open your heart. I don't want you to just outwardly demonstrate your hurt, but I want you to inwardly demonstrate your hurt because you have a desire to want to open yourself to me, open your heart to me, that I could live through you in an effective way that will impact this world in Jesus' name." You know what? It may seem hurtful at times. It may seem like, "Lord, I've been hurt by this world. I've been hurt by the things of this world. I've been hurt by circumstances. Lord, if I open myself up again, I'm susceptible to experiencing that again." But God is saying, "Open up your heart to me. I'm not going to hurt you. Open up your heart to me, and I'm going to restore some things in your life that other people have hurt. I want to renew some things in your life. I want to make things whole again that seem to be broken in your life. I'm going to fix things that are broken in you. But open yourself to me. Trust me. You've trusted this world, and this world has poured itself upon you, and it has disappointed you. But I will not disappoint you. I will not fail you, because his love is perfect in every way. His love is pure. We don't have to worry about that. We have trust issues because we trust this world with things, and it has disappointed us. But God is saying, trust me, and I will not disappoint you. Trust me, and I will not fail you. I want to be real with you. I was real with you once before, but open your heart to me, and I'll be real with you once again. In Jesus' name. Brother L, I don't know why we deal with things. I don't know why we deal with spiritual attacks. It doesn't make sense to me. But I am thinking what God has just on the other side of maybe a personal spiritual attack, or maybe a spiritual attack on a church collectively, is that the enemy is kicking and screaming and trying to do everything he can to stop what God said he would do. If he said he would do it, he is going to do it no matter what. And don't let those circumstances in life, don't let those disappointments or those failures discourage you, because just on the other side of that, God said, I'm going to break through. This sun's going to shine. It may seem dark right now, but joy is going to come in the morning. I'm going to bless. I'm going to pour out. I'm going to do what I said I promised that I would do, no matter what. No matter what your circumstances or what you feel, it's not predicated upon your circumstances. It's not predicated on what you see to your left, to your right, to your front, to your back. I'm going to fill and I'm going to do it. That is the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give God a hand clap. One thing we should always be willing to do is to be real, to not put up a front. I'm going to skip around. I came into church Wednesday night. I came in here with anxiety. I came in here frustrated. I came in here, I took two steps in, I put down the iPad, and I had to walk out. I've never experienced this in my life, especially coming to church. But I'll be honest with you, I never could relate to anybody that dealt with anxiety. I have siblings, I had my brother and sister, they would call me at times, hey, do you feel this? Do you ever have this happen to you? I'm like, no, I have no idea what you're talking about. I think, you know, like, I don't know what your problem is. But the last couple of weeks, I told Brother Wells, I said, I don't know what's going on, but I'm dealing with anxiety, and I'm dealing with frustration, and I'm having a hard time sleeping, I'm having a hard time just kind of catching my breath, and I don't know what it is. But Wednesday night, he spoke about being in a state of fog. But when you encounter Christ, it brings clarity. And I'm thankful that I could come on a church on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning or a Sunday night, no matter where it is. Maybe it's just two or three are gathered in my name. Maybe it's a brother or sister that I run into maybe at the grocery store. And I deal with frustration, with hurt and anxiety, and I have an encounter. And that person says just the right thing at just the right time I needed to hear. An encouraging word from a brother or sister, from my love for my brother and sister, because the love of God is being manifested through that person. And I walk around in a state of fog, and it's not intentional. We kind of just stumble into it at times. But I get into the presence of God. I get around loved ones that love the Lord, my brothers and sisters, and I begin to see things differently. I begin to listen to things, hear things differently. There's something that came to my mind When I felt, the last time I felt this anxiety started to swell up in me, and I want to read this to you. I got to find it. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we get wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness in high places. There's a spiritual battle going on in the unseen world. We're going to deal with things. We're going to be like, where did this come from? Why is this happening? Resist the devil and he will flee. He cannot reign on your parade. He cannot stay with you all the time. He is not omnipresent. But sometimes you feel the effects of him when he comes by you. And sometimes it'll last maybe for a few days, maybe a week or two. But I need to get in the presence of God. Lord, when I'm in your presence, Lord, things change. Lord, I cannot see right. Lord, things change when I get in your presence, Lord. Lord, when I can't see clearly, Lord, I'm going to listen to your voice. Aren't you thankful that when you cannot see, he just says, let's put one foot in front of the other. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Just listen to my voice. It is dark in this world, but I'm going to pierce the darkness with the light. In Jesus' name, Lord, I'm going to fill you. I'm going to empower you. I'm going to do a work through you. In Jesus' name, I'm going to do a work in this place. I'm going to do a work personally in your life, but I'm going to do a work collectively in this city in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 If I ever leave discouraged, that is not God's fault. If I can walk into the house of the Lord and I feel like life has beat me up and I ain't shaking nothing off from the time I walked in this door, don't blame it on God. It is something that we are holding on to. We need to let it go. If we are allowed to wake up in the morning, then we have an opportunity to be a reflection of his love every day. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. You may be an introvert. You may feel like, you know what, that's not me. That's not my personality. I'm type B personality. I don't do this. But when you experience the love of God, there's a boldness that God has given you that says, you know what, when I pour out my spirit to you, when I fill you with my spirit, your whole demeanor changes. You should not think the same. You should not look the same. I remember this clearly on the day that God filled me with his spirit on a Sunday morning. I looked at my hands. And I felt like my phone was vibrating. I'm like, what's going on? The phone wasn't even in my pocket. And I got home, and I looked in the mirror. I looked at my hands, and I did this, Brother L. I did one of these. I'm like, who is that? That's a new creature in Christ. He made a new creature when he filled me with his spirit. So I don't think the same. I don't dress the same. God filled me with his spirit on a Sunday morning. On a Monday morning, I thought differently. I dressed differently. I acted differently. I had friends that I worked with. I had coworkers that tried to get me to join their business endeavor. And all I could think about was the power of God and how it changed me, how it transformed me, and how I was a new creature. I didn't care about that stuff. They tried to persuade me, come and join this business endeavor. We're going to make a lot of money. I said, I don't care about that. All I could care about was the power that God did in my life. And I want that for everyone else. Everything else will take care of itself. The job situation will take care of itself. I'm not late on my bills. I'm not worried about it. It doesn't matter. What matters is the life changing, the transforming of my mind and my heart into what he did for me. I want others to have it. I want others to experience it. None of that stuff even matters. That pales in comparison. Well, Lord, I want God to consume me. I want him to do a work in me and through me. I want his love to be pure. I don't want it to be tainted. I don't want it to be I don't want to be distracted. We are going to be broadsided by things. We're going to deal with intimidation. I've dealt with intimidation on the workplace. I've had it to where certain people would just snap at me at the right time. It caused me to shut down. But that's not the spirit of the love of God. He did not give me the spirit of intimidation. He empowered me with his love and a sound mind, but perfect love casts out all fear. I'm not made perfect in his love if I deal with intimidation, if I deal with fear. That has to go. And I need to be in the presence of God, and I need to pray until something happens, until something changes in my life. If I'm still dealing with intimidation, if I'm still dealing with the fear, I don't need to get out of my prayer closet until I break through that barrier in Jesus' name. We need to break through barriers. Sometimes we get comfortable to where we're standing, get comfortable where we are in our walk with God. And see, he'll allow things and obstacles to come in our way. I want you to break through some things. Where is your desire? Where is your love? Where is your drive? Where is your passion? Where is your compassion? I want you to break through some things in your life. I'm going to put some things in your path. I don't want you to go around them. I want you to go through them. I want you to get to victory. I want you to go from victory to victory in Jesus' name. I want you to be more than a conqueror. I want your love to be made perfect. He wants his love to be made perfect in us and through us. Not just in us. Not just to hold us. Not just to be contained and to say, great, I feel God's love. I feel This is amazing. This is indescribable. But I want you to share it, and I want it to be manifested in the workplace. I want it to be manifested in the grocery store. I want it to be manifested in the loved ones that don't know, that don't have what you have inside you, in Jesus' name. I can love that person with a godly love who did me wrong because I can love that person through his eyes. A carnal-minded person can't comprehend that. How do you love somebody that did you wrong? How do you love somebody that did a family member wrong? I don't love him through my eyes. I love him through his eyes, through a pure, untainted love. When we receive the Holy Spirit, we become empowered by the pure love of Christ that is within us. Receiving the Spirit causes us to truly love God in a dimension never known before. Before Peter had the opportunity to receive the Holy Ghost, Jesus quizzed him regarding his measure of love for the Lord. Their conversation had to do with his measure of love towards Jesus. Peter, how deep is your love for me? Do you love me as a friend? Are you committed to me? Are you devoted to me? Just some heartfelt questions. My love is pure. I'm pouring it out to you. It's not all Peter's fault. Peter wasn't filled with the Spirit at the time when Jesus asked him those questions. How can I love somebody properly? How can I manifest God's love in me and through me unless I'm empowered by his Spirit? We underestimate the power that God has for us, in us, and through us. We are not like everybody else. A lot of times, we've been tapped into the power of God, but we walk around with the power tools, but not the plugged into the outlet. I got these tools. This is some good stuff. The light in the end of the cord is not lit. It happens to all of us. When God fills us with his Spirit, only then are we capable of giving to others the highest measure of committed and devoted love. For only then do we love from a pure heart fervently. Peter was unable to express this properly until God filled him with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. His Spirit teaches us to love people and use things, and not love things and use people. 1 John 2:15 and 16 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world." We see that comparison with Adam and Eve in the garden. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The tree is to be desired to make one wise. It's the pride of life. How about that car that I really want but can't afford? It would look really good in my driveway. The pride of life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the desire to please my neighbor who I barely know, who doesn't look at my checkbook every month. Doesn't matter. It's easy to get caught up in. It's easy to find ourselves in that position with all the advertisement that we see and come across every day. Those car lots full of those brand new cars with a brand new car smell. No payments to 2019. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love for one another." It's not by how many gifts of the Spirit that we operate in or how many Bible studies we give in a week. It's having a genuine love for my brother and my sister. "Beloved, let us one love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. If any man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. What an accusation. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God who he hath not seen? A father's pure love. The love for parents, the love parents have for their children is indescribable at times. You can't measure it. You can't explain it. I heard it said before I had children. Parents say, you won't understand until you have a child of your own. And you know what? They were right. I cannot understand the love that a parent has for the child until I became a parent myself. In the story of the prodigal son, who said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falleth upon me. The father gave his portion, the required inheritance, and the son went on to a distant country where he wasted everything his father had given him. He was living it up until suddenly he ran out of money and began to be in want. Destitute, the son found a job feeding pigs, and at times he was tempted to fill himself with the very food in which he was feeding them. He was desperate when he finally came to his senses. In Luke 15, 17 through 19 says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. That's repentance right there. It's not like I sinned against you, Dad. I sinned against God. David, pure repentance. Lord, I sinned against you first, and I sinned against Bathsheba. The son's father never gave up hope that his son would someday return home. On the very day the boy was heading home, the father saw him from a great distance away. He had to have an almost foolish-like hope that his son would return. He gave him enough money to last a lifetime. There was something inside of him that renewed his hope. I don't know why. He may think, I'm dead to him. That's what his father's thoughts could be. But I'm not going to give up hope. It's amazing. Why would that man, that dad, have that kind of hope? Something had to cause him to look from way far away. People come from that distance all the time when they're traveling through. But I am hoping to see somebody that resembles my son. Everybody in this house gave up on my son, but I never gave up on my son. I never gave up on my daughter. I hope. I have hope. It's a foolish hope. If I try to tell anybody, they think I'm crazy, but I'm not going to give up hope for my loved one. I'm not going to give up hope for my son, my daughter, my brother, my sister, the one that has been here, the one that I've seen changed. I will not give up. I will never, 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 ever give up until I see them restored again. In Jesus' name. Returning to first love. In Revelation, the Lord directed John to write to the seven churches of Asia in the first letter, written to the angel of the church of Ephesus. The Lord noted seven good traits: their works, their labor, their patience, that they cannot bear those who are evil, that they had discern those who falsely claimed to be apostles, that they had labored for his name's sake, and that they had not fainted. I endured. I labored. I did everything you want me to do. However, the Lord had one thing against him. In Revelation 2, 4, and 5, it says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove the candlestick out of that place, except I'll repent, except I allow some things to be exposed and open back in my heart again. Lord, I am hurt to open my heart to anyone again, but God is not anyone. He will not hurt you. He will not fail you. If there's any a place, if we are God's people, we need to let others know that it is okay to open your heart to him. Because some people have been trampled on by this world. False promises. They are so much in a shell that they are terrified to open their heart to anything, even God. Let our hearts be opened. Let our hearts be a living example. Let us be a living testimony. Lord, Lord, let my heart be open to you, Lord. Even if it may cause hurt, it's going to hurt. If your heart has been closed up for a long period of time and you allow it to be open again, it's going to hurt. If your hand has been clenched for a long period of time and you allow your fingers to open again, it's going to hurt. It's going to cramp. You're going to need some physical therapy. Lord, the physician, do a work in me that no doctor can do. Lord, examine my heart. Open me up, Lord. Transform me. I need a new heart and I need a new mind. I need an operation. I need a heart operation, Lord. I'm done. We could stand. The only basis for relationship with Jesus is through pure love that he pours out through his Holy Spirit. We must hold to his pure love and never let it go. Should we ever discover his love lacking in our lives, we must return to it. It's the only foundation on which we can build and have a relationship with him. I don't just want to have a Martha relationship with God, which he had good intentions, but I need to have a Mary relationship as well. Not only do I need to do things to please God, I need to do the labor for the Lord and to discern things, but I need to sit at his feet. I need to be close to him. I need to let him examine me to open me up. God is saying to open your heart to me, and I will heal it, I will restore it, I will renew it, I will make it whole again. Return to me your first love.
Jesus. Thank you, Brother Craig. Lord, we need love. God is love. I don't know his religious affiliation, but Brother Burt Bacharach had it right. 1965. What this world needs now is love, sweet love. Love's the only thing. There's just too little love. If God is love, then he's right. But maybe it would be better written this way. What this world needs now is God. Sweet God. Lord, help me to be loved. These altars are open. Why don't you take the time, opportunity, either here at the altar or there at your pew. These next few moments before we transition in the next service, Lord, help me to be loved. By this, y'all may know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Not just love for my brother and sister here in the house, but love for my fellow man. Love for my neighbor across the street. Love for my coworker across the hall. Love for my friends in the social circles that I have.
Praise love, I know it's true. And it's my if you, my King, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true. And it's my joy to honor you in all I do. I'm alive and with your but you're my king, would die for me. Amazing love, I know it's true, and it's my joy to honor you.
My God, my Savior has ransomed.
has promised good to me. His word, my hope, secure.